Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake.
I swear that I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, and that there is Rex Hupke, and we're back in our podcast closet.
It's nice and cool today, though. I like it.
Oh, you're really right up on the microphone. Hang on. Keep talking.
Oh,
I'm
going to
just...
Okay.
I'm just going to pop that down a little bit, because you're loud.
Sorry.
Anyway,
I'm excited.
It's freezing in here today, so we're getting the hint. Slowly, they don't want us. They've moved us to a closet.
Yes.
They've made it very cold. Essentially, we're doing this in a refrigerator.
Basically, yeah. It's all, everything except produce.
Right. I think I might have an apple in my purse, so maybe not. Anyway, hey, let's talk about Trump a little bit.
He's crazy.
I mean, at this point, Twitter has just been going, the gesture you make when you have no words and you just like put your hands out and go, Twitter's been doing that for days.
It has been.
Days. Yeah.
And even Fox News has been doing some of that,
even
too.
Even Fox News. You done stepped in it when even Fox News is like,
There's no excusing and there's no explanation, I don't think, for what happened at that summit on Monday at the press conference. And also, just real quick, I would like to point out, because, you know, one of the people that love Trump, one of the big things that they go on about is how tough he is.
Yeah, he is the least tough person I have ever met.
Wimp times infinity. I mean, it is staggering when you think about it. Like,
and not just the whip. He's like real prissy about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And like, he's just like real bitchy about everything.
You know, and he's such a. I mean, you know, he's a showboat kind of a obviously guy in terms of the way he talks and all that sort of stuff. So he could have put on a show of toughness there by calling out Putin, by saying, well, you can't do this again, whatever. He could have done it all seven different ways.
Nothing about him has ever registered as tough to me.
Right, exactly.
Never. I mean, there have been people, and that's just not, that has nothing to do with the fact that I just don't like the guy, don't agree with him politically or ideologically. That's just, like, there are plenty of people that I don't agree with that I'm like, that guy seems like a real, like, tough psycho dude, but I'm not aligned with him.
Right.
But no, that's not what I think at all about Trump. I think he's, like, a little weenie.
Yeah.
Nothing about him is tough.
Right, yeah, which I found that, and that, to me, that didn't get... There was so much to deal with in that sort of cataclysm but that got overlooked, I thought, was this sort of the big, and he is, he's a big guy. He's like this, supposed to be this big, everybody thinks, oh, finally we've got a president who'll show him who's boss and stuff. And I'm like, no, and he was like, everything except cowering,
he's a in front of brat.
Putin. So, but anyway, the bigger issue now, I think, especially given what has happened over the past over the past 2 days since then, including just earlier today, is what exactly are we dealing with? I mean, we've sort of talked about this in an abstract sense since he was running for president, became president. But, you know, now I think after seeing him basically throw his own intelligence agencies under the bus and then turn around yesterday and try to pull them out from under the bus while also simultaneously pushing them back under the bus by
lifting the bus up higher in order to throw them further into the bus.
Yeah, which is kind of that was yesterday.
It was ridiculous. I mean,
it made no sense.
Would what are you doing?
It was preposterous. I mean, if you
misspeak, you say so right then.
Sure. Or you say so at some point within the roughly 27 hours prior to actually coming back.
Immediately. I mean, like, say you're giving a speech and you mean to say, and my good friend, you know, Max Hupke, and then you walk off stage and they're like, hey, dumbass, you said Max Hupke, not Rex Hupke. I'd be like, why did I do that? That's real stupid.
Yeah.
And then I would immediately say, I would issue a statement and be like, I was presenting an award to my friend Rex Hupke and stupidly called him Max. I apologize to all Hupkes everywhere, including Rex Hupke. Like, what? You would do that immediately.
Right. And he did.
Especially a word like would and wouldn't.
Right.
Especially that, with such weight attached to it.
Quite literally meaning the opposite of each other. Like, it's just like.
I mean, let's put that in another context. Say you're on trial. Did you kill that man? No. I mean, yes.
Scratch that first one.
I meant the other thing.
Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do. I mean, I don't. No, my bad. I'm sorry. I meant I don't.
It's just ridiculous.
Like, it's literally the opposite of what you meant.
Yeah. And he was on two Fox News interviews with Hannity and Tucker Carlson. And then he sent a slew of tweets
that were batshit.
Right. And nothing was said to clarify until they finally had to. And then he's doing it with a written script that he then ad-libs from, because he says that he trusts what the intelligence agencies are saying, that Russia interfered with the U.S. election. And then he said, it also could have been a lot of people out there. And I'm like, what? Like, you just did it again. Like, you just corrected yourself, tried to make this right, and then did it again. You did exactly what you did on Monday.
I mean, he kind of used his Charlottesville template.
Right.
He's like, shit on both sides, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, totally. And then
you are the president of the United States, as a reminder.
Yeah.
Right. You're not like dad going, I'm really sorry that my children broke your window with their baseball.
Right. Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in them.
Yeah.
I still love them, but I'm disappointed. No. That's not what we're doing here. Like, I'm going to air quote, elected you to represent us.
And you're doing a really bad job.
A real terrible job.
Well, and also think about I have a broader point to get. I want to get to keep going off on sidetracks.
It's on me.
But think the people in the intelligence agencies, by and large, very smart people.
For the most part, sure.
Yeah, and probably, as with any vast organizations, there's going to be some good people and some bad people mixed in, of course. But those people are certainly smart enough to see what this guy is saying and to not buy I meant to say wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nobody, like, he may be able to fool some of his most fervent supporters out there who just don't give a crap for whatever
reason.
Went
and, like, looked, you know, I like to look at opposition Twitter a lot. And so I was looking, like, what are the Trumpos tweeting? And there was a lot of, like, see, that's what I'm talking about. He's just a regular guy. And he just says what he means. Like, he was, you know, I mean, it was completely
cleared it right up.
Yeah. No. Like, who hasn't misspoken? Like, it's fine. I'm like, are you serious right now?
But the people in the intelligence agencies sure as hell were like, whoa, holy crap. Although maybe they probably knew it was coming anyway because they've been watching him in general. But that's the thing, is that no actual intelligent person with any sense of honesty to themselves can look at that and not be like, what in God's name is going on? And the problem, I think, with it being, you know, the president of the United States and not just some reality TV bozo who you can ignore.
You can be both.
Yeah, well, yeah, apparently. Is that now we're left with, okay, what is the deal with this guy? Right. Now, we've been wondering about this all over the place.
We've been, like, joking about it in a lighthearted way. But at this point, you're like, there's something the matter with you.
Right. I mean, to do what he's just done and then to do the messy attempt at cleanup that he's done, which, by the way, just earlier today, he was asked if he thinks Russia is still attacking her.
Right.
And he said no, which again muddies the water completely. Right. And then Sarah Sanders came out at the press conference and said, no, that wasn't what he meant.
He meant no questions.
Right. He meant no. It's like, what are you doing? It's so ridiculous. And so the question then is, does Russia have something on him? If that's the case, that's not good. Is he staggeringly, unbelievably stupid? That's not good. Does he have dementia or some kind of a major mental issue? Right. So the problem, there is no explanation for what happened over the past 3 days that is good.
Right.
I mean, there's no sensible person can look at that and say, okay, well, clearly this is a person who's got his act together and should be making decisions on behalf of our country. You just can't say it.
I mean, there's maybe a fourth in that he really never wanted this and he's trying desperately to get fired.
Yeah, that's
I mean, that's the best case scenario at this point.
Right, yeah, exactly.
He might take us all out with him.
Right, yeah, but he's just finding a way to go down as, in as crazy a manner as possible.
So he's doing like Office Space style. Exactly. He's like, it's not that I'm lazy, Bob, right. It's just that I don't care.
Yeah, he's sitting, and then he's sitting back and he's like, what does a guy got to do to get fired around right. here? Good Lord.
Dude, I'm colluding with Russians, I'm misspeaking, I'm contradicting myself, I'm hitting on my own child, I clearly killed my wife, like, yeah, what do you got to do to get fired around here?
Yeah, but I think there's something. I mean, Russia has, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the P tape. I hope it is. I don't know.
Boy, do I hope it's a P tape.
But I do, there has to be an explanation for why he is a guy who is so fully capable of being an enormous dick, mm-hmm. why he is being so, so kind and
right.
gentle.
Why are you being
with Russia?
Why are you being Putin's bitch right now? Because clearly you are. Clearly. Yeah. There's no, that is not the behavior of someone who's like, this asshole's not going to boss me around. Yeah. Fuck you. I don't have to listen to you. Like, clearly there is something going on behind the scenes here.
And I think it's possible that it's that and there's some mental incapacity.
Well, I was just going to say, it could be all of the things you just said.
Yeah,
right?
Because, I mean, honestly, like, the first of all, if he would, if he was owned by Russia, the way he is going about things is the most shockingly stupid, arrogant,
completely stupid,
like just ridiculous.
So that to me says that to me says there's many things going on, because if it was just a matter of you know, extortion, mm-hmm. then it wouldn't be going down this way. If it was just a matter of psychosis, I don't think Russia would care enough. They'd be like, sure, we'll get some little perks here, but fuck off. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it was just a matter of being an asshole, I think he would be playing it very differently. He wouldn't be such like a cowardly little brat about everything. Mm-hmm. He's a fucking man child. So put all those things together. Like, I personally, again, not a doctor, not a legal scholar, none of those things, just mm-hmm. an observer. And I believe it's all of those things. It was just, like, he doesn't seem like a well person. If he was related to me, I'd be like, you know, maybe let's talk about the driver's license that you have.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned with you driving there, Grandpa. Yes, let's not do that. I would be concerned. I would want to speak to that person's physician and say, like, you know what? There's just some erratic behavior here. This is not going well.
Right. Yeah. No,
Which, by the way, is not me being compassionate to him.
Right.
For the record, I don't give a shit about him.
Sure, yeah. No, that's fine. I would be the first to, you know, cast him off on an ice floe. But,
ooh, that'd be good.
But I think, you know, I don't trust the Republicans. And a lot of Republicans immediately took his, oh no, I misspoke thing. And we're like, well, we have to take him at his word. I'm like, okay, that's the dumbest thing anybody's ever said. But so I don't
Because no white guy in power has ever lied to people before.
Right.
Sounds good.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is I don't believe that anything is necessarily going to happen, but this is closer than past events to being in some sort of an inflection point, because there was legitimate concern coming from, even from Republicans, even from Fox News, you know, where it wasn't just people on the left being like, this is outrageous. I mean, in this case, people were just like, oh, holy shit, what just happened? Like,
Newt Gingrich was like tweeting up a storm going, this is treason.
Yeah.
Like, you got Newt Gingrich on your bad side. Like,
although Newt Gingrich immediately, I don't know if you saw it, but he immediately backtracked as soon as Trump said, oh, I misspoke. He's like, well, okay, I congratulate,
that's fine.
I admire the president for stepping up and admitting. It's like, come on.
Shut up, dude.
Yeah. I mean, that was.
But his little tweet storm was pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was as incoherent and crazy as some of Trump's.
Yeah. Yeah. But there, you know, definitely.
I was going to read some Trump tweets, but we don't really get Wi-Fi here in the podcast closet.
Oh, shoot. That's a bummer.
That's a shame.
But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot. And again, I mean, you're never going to, you know, the diehards, you just forget it. I mean, he as he noted, he could quite literally just go out and shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. But
what do you think it would take for the diehards to go like,
I don't, nothing. I mean, I don't think there's anything he could do. I think they're trapped. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
Because they'd have to admit they're wrong.
And that's going to hurt them too much.
I think you're right, but I also think that some like really quality, just like if they were to see him as just the idiotic man child that he is, I think that might shift because he's got like hero status. And I think if it shifted to like, what a petty child, I think it might. But I think that would involve such a concerted effort of great emasculation and humiliation that like, who's up for that? I don't know. But like, you'd have to really mess with him.
It's possible some, you know, indisputable evidence that he's paid for a couple abortions could sway some people and get them mad.
Yeah.
And then it's
but even then I could see like he was tricked or,
right,
you know,
yeah.
I could see
it was somehow the woman,
somehow,
the woman's
somehow
fault.
That will be the put on the woman somehow.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point. I think if there's a recording of him speaking very dismissively of the people that support him.
Yeah. See,
know,
I think he's got to turn on them in a public way. I also think if the pee tape comes out and he's got like a micro penis, I think that might be helpful too.
That wouldn't hurt. That would just be good for everybody.
Because it'd just be hilarious and we would all enjoy that. But also, I think there's some degree of like, oh, well, there would be some kind of like hierarchy. Masculinity conferred on him that would be stripped from him.
Right,
if they were like, wow, it's like an acorn. Damn, that's like tiny. You know what I mean? I think they'd be like, because I think like there's some, you know, narrative about like large breasts is more feminine and tiny penis is less masculine, right? Things like that. So I'm willing to bet like but it would just be like super exciting and hilarious for the rest of us.
Yes.
I'm talking about like Coachella Wizard. Remember that guy?
Yeah,
remember that video?
Yeah.
That was like an acorn.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Like his belly button covered more area of his body than his ween. And like if we got to that point, then I think people would be like,
And that's weird too. Like that would just be
also this concludes a lot the portion of the show in which I have officially talked about Trump's penis
yes,
more than
exactly.
I ever will in my life.
Yeah. Like I don't even want to get into the psychology if that's what actually turns people against him, but whatever. You know.
Right. Cause then that's some like
really
deliciously weird shit right there.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean I would be shocked if there is not a recording of him walking out of one of his rallies and being like, boy, I fooled those fucking idiots again.
Right.
Or
he's
you know
yahoos.
What I mean? Yeah, exactly. Because you know he feels that way. I mean, you know, that's the irony of him in so many ways is that he desperately wants to be loved by the sort of upper crust, which would never embrace him because he's a bozo.
Classless idiot.
Yeah. And yet he wants that. And instead he winds up with, you know, a room full of rednecks that, you know, are chanting his name. And so he's taking that. But you know that that's not actually doing it for
As
him.
An aside, I just realized that like the cover photo on his Twitter account is a crowd. It's basically like it's an arena, but it's cropped really close to show him addressing a crowd.
Nice.
Like what an ego move right
oh,
there.
Oh yeah. No, I mean the ego is staggering, which is
staggering.
Which was kind of what and I mean yeah.
Oh my god.
And a lot, you know, honestly a lot of the Russia defensiveness on his
Wait. Oops, he's sorry. On Instagram? Please
oh, yeah.
hold. Please hold. I didn't realize this.
Hang on. Yeah. They do. They do a lot. I don't pay a lot of attention to it, but I've seen it before.
I don't want to wreck Instagram. But I follow like dogs and yoga people. I don't want to mess with.
Yeah,
I don't want him
yeah,
in
right.
that realm.
Keep him out of there. But I do think that I don't think he does that. I think that's his, you know, social media people.
If he did his own fucking Instagram, it would be like. Oh my God, let's see. What would he want? What would Trump want to put on Instagram? What is the visual representation of his values?
Himself.
He would be like real bad selfies talking about his fucking giant hands and awesomeness and the best brain and whatever.
Either that or it would just be like, you know, pictures of models or something creepy.
I met these beautiful women.
Or pictures of Ivanka.
Oh, that's what it'd be. Oh my God. This guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's scary. You know, I mean, it's really.
So what happens now in your mind? What do you think? What are we doing next? What's happening this time next week?
First of all,
I predict nothing.
Yeah. I think the Republicans are going to do their utmost to let this pass. However, I do think there's a lot going on with the Mueller investigation. And if you look particularly at the Russian woman who was just indicted She's 29 years old. She infiltrated the NRA, and she's a Russian, clearly a Russian asset, according to the indictment anyway, and it certainly all seems to add up. So I think that, I think more and more, as this stuff starts to unfold, and as you kind of see how Mueller is laying the puzzle pieces out on the table, that the NRA, the Russian money that went to the NRA,
right,
I think becomes more and more important. I think that there's a major, because the one of the biggest questions throughout all of this has been like, okay, Republicans, why did you not get him into office and then almost immediately impeach him and get him the hell out and mm-hmm. put Pence in, who would be infinitely more stealthy and effective for the Republicans? Why are you carrying this guy's water when he's debasing your entire party relentlessly? And I think it has a lot to do with NRA money, which lines the pockets of all these Republicans, mm-hmm. and where that came from and how much they knew about where it was coming from. I think that there's like been a major, there's some kind of a big connection between Russia, the NRA, and the Republican Party.
Yeah, oh, sure.
And I don't, again, I take it all one step at a time. I sound like I'm sort of spouting some grand conspiracy theory. I'm not saying like I feel this is definitive or anything. But to me, the way things are unfolding right now, first with the 12 indictments against the Russian agents that were involved in the hacking, and then this Russian spy that was dealing with the NRA and apparently sleeping with some, possibly a congressman, we don't know yet, or at least a high-ranking NRA person.
I'm making a face of disgust.
Yeah,
just
no, it's all,
the idea, like,
yeah, it's all, no, it's crazy. I mean, it's like, it is, I mean, people keep saying this is like an episode of The Americans, and it really is. I mean, it's amazing.
Here's the thing, if 5 or 6 years ago you wrote this as a screenplay, nobody would take that. Nobody would option that shit from you, because they'd be like, yeah, this is way too elaborate. No one will be able to follow this story. Mm-hmm. There's too much going on. We couldn't accomplish all this even in a single season.
Yeah.
Even if it was episodic. No way. Not doing it. Bye.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of this ties back to white insecurity among sort of white men and the belief that we are sort of like this white Christian nation, because that part of it aligns fairly well with Russia, which also sees itself mm-hmm. as a, you know, and Putin, which, you know, sort of a white Christian nation, very anti-LGBT, anti-immigrant.
Everything that's not a white guy.
Right, yeah.
And
so,
a straight white guy.
So, and it sounds like, and you blend that into the culture of the NRA, this sort of hyper-masculine gun culture, mm-hmm. And it seems like a perfect fit in a lot of ways, and it seems like it's starting to appear that Russia recognized that, saw that as a conduit to basically buying all of these politicians.
Yeah.
And off you go.
So this is a weird side tangent, but I was thinking about like that definition of masculinity and what is acceptably feminine, because I was at a bus stop where I do all of my best eavesdropping, and there were these, and it was like around here, so there's like tourists, right? And these guys kind of asked me for some direction. They're like, is this the bus to so-and-so? I was like, yeah, you know, they were going to like hit the deep dish pizza and do the tourist things and whatever.
Yeah.
And they were perfectly nice, but, and then they were just kind of talking, and because the bus was taking forever, and I was just looking at my phone and done talking with them. And they started talking about that show, damn it, Mark Harmon's on it. I'm like blending two different shows. It's like the NCIS franchise. There's like a mm-hmm.
so, yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Okay,
there.
So they were talking about this woman that's on that show and what a badass she is. And they were just going on and on. She's so badass. She's this. And then they were talking about like the other woman on the show that's such a badass, and I guess she's Israeli or something. And mm-hmm. so they were going, and the what they found like acceptably badass about the women is that they acted like these hyper masculine versions of men. That's
right.
Really what it was. They were like, they shoot things without feelings. They're not bitches around their period.
Yeah.
They're hot. They're, you know, they've got a big rack. Like they were, I mean, they weren't saying it quite like that, but that's essentially like, she's, you know, put together. She's pretty stacked and she's this, and man, she can really handle that gun, and she always solves the case and instead of this other guy. So I was like, I got to watch the show and see what's going on. So I like found it and watched it, and I was like, I mean, okay, it's like a good procedural.
Yeah, yeah, they're fine shows. Yeah,
you don't need to know anything about.
Right, yeah, it's like Law and Order.
Right, you can just like drop in and watch it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's a perfectly fine show. They've got their quirky people in it. Okay, but I figured out exactly that's it confirmed everything. Yes, they were talking about these like really hot women. Like, I wouldn't say, like, both of them were, like, smart. Like, they weren't, like, Barbies just mm-hmm. there for show. They were smart women. But it was, like, these guys, because they were really talking heavy, like, they were definitely, like, Trumpo people, right? Mm-hmm. And they, like, what they were talking about was so... The reason they liked these women, it really came, and I had to confirm it, and I did. Like, they act like really badass dudes, and it was somehow okay to confer some degree of power to them because they were, like, super hyper-capable men.
Right.
Like, I can put that woman on my wank list because she's like Charles Bronson.
It's like a dude I can have sex with and not be gay.
It's like a, right. It's like a dude with a big rack, and I can totally be in love with this dude but not be gay.
Right.
Like, that's exactly what was happening, and I was like, they want, like, the women that will be idolized. It's like they needed them to be dudes. Really badass dudes.
That's pretty interesting. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, this is not a subject that I've pondered a great deal. But
I realize I just sprung a weird topic.
Yeah,
no.
But it's interesting because the other thing I think of is I've been around a lot of guys who, like, see a girl go by driving a Jeep, a Wrangler or something like that. And they're like, oh, man, I love a chick in a Jeep.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Like,
right.
You know, and so I don't know if that's...
I mean, it's kind of the same. Well, go ahead.
I think it might be because sometimes it's because they feel like, well, I could hang out with her more than I could. I'm talking about it through their lens.
Sure.
You know, like, this is a girl I could hang out with because she does, like, stuff I like. She's into stuff I like.
I don't have to
know.
Talk about feelings and shit. We can
right.
talk about guns.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know how much, I mean, because in a way it almost sounds like there's sort of a, like, there's a weird gender
mm-hmm.
thing,
mm-hmm.
sexual
yep.
something or
exactly
other going
where
on.
I'm going with that,
but
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that's it or not, though, because I think it may just be a, wow, I can have a girl, which is what I'm attracted to, but she would sort of do dude stuff, which
right.
is what I like to do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I think so that may be behind it more than, like, sort of a...
So then think about... The way, like, when we were all sort of first meeting Sarah Palin on a national scale, think about the things said about her. Like,
oh, yeah.
I think it totally applies. Talk amongst yourselves, still coughing. But, like, it was all about she had guns. She, like, shot wolves out of the fucking helicopter or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
She had these,
yeah.
like, badass, although I thought they were crazy, kids' names, Trig and Twig and whatever
yeah.
they were, right? Like, she was, like, had this pioneer woman... narrative to her, and
the
I
mama
think,
bear
totally
yeah,
and I
yeah.
think that, like, made her, like, I you know, I remember when she, I remember somebody I don't remember who it was, but, like, one of the pundit types being like, and she's such a lovely woman, like, that doesn't matter, you're talking to her in a professional capacity, so
right.
it shouldn't matter what she looks like, but also, like, somehow she's a, like, valid because she does man things.
Right. Yeah. Ugh. Oh yeah, that was a big part of the appeal for her for no, I mean, no question, you know, is the guys are like, "Oh man. Yeah." Whereas and also on the opposite side, that was for Hillary, you know, that was an issue. Like, one of the big things, even Trump used it, mm-hmm. you know, sort of indicating, like, oh, why would I look at her ass kind of
yeah.
you know, thing, and that sort of nonsense. So yeah, I mean, it cuts both ways. The and it's bad both in both directions, you know.
Right. But I don't know, I was just thinking about it because I, like, had this conversation with these guys, and it, like,
well, and look at the women that the NRA is trying, like Dana Loesch,
exactly,
and also who's it, Tomi Lahren or whatever.
I will never forget, like, that fucking photo of her with the gun,
with the gun
in
yeah,
the front,
like,
of her pants. I'm like, you're gonna shoot your vulva.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. I was like, I think there are better ways to deal with yeast infections. I'm sorry.
I mean, why would you put a gun on the front of your pants?
Yeah, it was insane.
Why would you pack a weapon? But right. also, why would you put a gun down the front of your pants?
It was crazy. And but yeah, I mean, they're like caricatures, you know? Like, they're these
yeah.
like, you know, voluptuous women who have, you know, love a big gun and the, you know, like, all
and
this
in fact,
talk
I think
tough kind
of. The prettiness is a requirement of that, right? Because,
oh, yeah.
like, there's such a backlash to the beauty shift and to conforming to that.
Sure.
Like, exactly what you just said with Hillary. Like, I remember talking to somebody, like I was just kind of asking people at the Women's March, just, why are you here today? And so there was like a couple of counter protesters. I was like, what are you out here for today? And this guy was like, well, you know, Hillary, like, nah, she, like, he ended up saying, like, I'm here to protest this because these are just sore losers, you know, essentially what he said. But he made a point of mentioning that Hillary was not good looking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he specifically was like, I don't think she's good looking. And I was like, well, are you her partner? Like, do you need to think she's good looking? Why does it matter? He's like, she's in public. She should fix up a little bit. I'm just like, and I was like, okay, thanks for your time. And just kind of walked off. But I was like, God, that's that, you know, that thing about like, pretty is not the rent you have to pay to live on this earth or sure. to move yeah. around. But nonetheless, there is a backlash to ignoring the beauty shift or to not conforming to mm-hmm. a beauty standard.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. It's no, yeah. You would never see like I hate the term plus size because I think that's like when people are like they've taken a plus size model. I'm like, okay, well, I think the real breakthrough point is going to be when you stop saying plus size model
right.
and just say model.
Right?
But if you want to, the NRA would not have someone who does not fit like the NRA's beauty standards.
Right.
Like you know what I mean?
Like this sort of like thin white. Curvy
right.
definition of what beauty is.
Exactly.
She's going to have straight hair. She's mm-hmm. going to have blonde hair. She's probably going to have blue or green eyes.
Yeah.
She's going to like have a big rack and a tiny yeah. waist and
a giant gun in her vagina.
And she's going to be treating a yeast infection yes. with a 357.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, it's bizarre and it's not, those are kind of the things that are being clinged on to.
Well, you know, yeah, like, that was our jumping off point of all this thing, right?
Yeah.
Of clinging to this definition of like, what is America?
Mm-hmm.
What is American?
Right.
I mean, I really hate that, you know, these like super racist videos that are coming up, these white people talking about my country. Like, dude, you cannot stand on stolen land and talk about my country. Like, Native Americans may say that and all else may fuck off because
right.
really yeah. that's what we're talking. Like it's, please be aware of that. That drives me so crazy when the story of this part of the land on this earth begins with the pilgrims and Christopher Columbus and
right.
shit. Like,
yeah. We are a white Christian nation. It's like, yeah. well.
I can't stand that shit.
Yeah. Like, no, it really, I mean, and it doesn't hurt you to acknowledge that, like you can still talk about America.
And you can love America.
Right. While still giving, you know, a nod to what happened. You don't have to avoid the reality of that. You know, it doesn't take away from your loving this country or what you believe this country stands for and
right.
all that sort of stuff. I mean, you can still say this, you know, our country was founded on, you know, welcoming immigrant, whatever you want to say, and still acknowledge we started off really poorly at that.
We fucked things up yeah. royally for a while.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, it would be refreshing to have people say things like, you know, talking about maybe their families owned other human beings and they're yeah. not proud of that and they think that's fucked up.
Right.
And
yeah.
they're, you know, that would be great for people to talk about that instead of like, my forebears came to this land
sure.
to make a better life by imprisoning and enslaving other human beings. Like, just let's say shit was real fucked up in this land for a long time. White people have it by very shitty means
mm-hmm.
and the clinging to it is a fucking problem. I mean, look.
Yeah.
Anytime you are grasping and clinging to something, it's a bad idea,
right?
If you're like begging your spouse to not leave you, they want to leave. Like, let them. Like,
yeah.
if you're begging for your job, you're fired. No one wants you here. Just go. Like, never does it work to like, you can't unring a bell. When things evolve.
Yeah.
When enlightenment occurs, when people are saying, hey, you know what? We're sick of power looking the same. Let's fix that. You can't, I mean, and also it does not, I just don't see what's so goddamn threatening. Why not?
Exactly.
Why yeah. not? I don't understand, but of course I'm not a cishet white guy, so I don't know. But it really drives me crazy because you just like when you're like hearing the white guy meltdown happening, it's hilarious. You're like, I'm watching a child have a tantrum.
Yeah, that is.
Of I will not share my shit with other children in the sandbox. I have to have it my way and do my things and I need my way of life forever. And that's just bullshit. And the thing is, like, there's so many, you know, narratives that we never uncover. I was talking recently with a friend of mine about, like, when people talk about family values and, like, people are so quick to say, well, that's because there's no dads in the household and they're, like, you know what? Sure, more people are divorced now, but also less people are killing themselves for reasons like they can't come out of the closet, mm-hmm. and less women are staying in a relationship because she has no socioeconomic way to escape an abuser. Like, we have to think about that kind of shit, and I know that's real inconvenient for the demographic doing the abusing, and mm-hmm. that's real inconvenient for like someone who is benefiting from that power. But it's unfathomable to me what's the fucking harm of just like, let the shit go. Like to go, yeah, yes, we should be moving forward. We should be making decisions for human beings, not for dollars. And it's just gross. Here's a wonderful example of that. The casino owner in Vegas. Did you see this story? So they are preemptively suing people who were at the concert where the mass shooting occurred.
Yeah, at the MGM. Yeah.
How fucked up is that?
Yeah, I don't even understand what.
See, that's it.
Yeah, that was a very confusing.
I read the article. I read a couple of articles about it because I was like, how does this even work? It's like a 9/11 era law to protect companies, which is fucked up. Like, protect human beings before you protect companies, please. But I was like, I need an attorney immediately. I need to go hire an attorney immediately to explain this to me because I just don't understand how that's fucking possible. But the answer at the end of the day is capitalism. So that's...
Yeah.
We protect companies more than human beings.
Yeah.
We do it every single day. We protect state institutions over human beings all the time.
And that's another example of... How on earth does the benefit of your company doing that outweigh the public relations maelstrom that you're going to get from doing that because you look like monsters?
And how do you sleep at night?
Yeah, there's that, of course. But I always like to, I mean, I kind of, because, you know, business, I think at the end of the day, almost always functions on dollars, on money, you know, it comes down to money. And I don't like that, but that's the reality of it. And so I always try to think like, okay, if they're not doing the moral thing, why aren't they doing the thing that
the smart business thing?
And to me, and again, I haven't looked at the spreadsheets on it or whatever. And the whole issue kind of confuses me a bit, but that's a terrible thing to do. I mean, people are going to ban MGM for life over that sort of crap. I mean, that is an insane thing to do that looks callous. And if you are going to do it and there is a justifiable reason for it, you damn well better do it in a way where you get out in front of that.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, look, this is going to happen, but this is why we're doing this. And we don't mean any harm to it, but this is a necessary thing for us to do, for share, whatever. Whatever the explanation is,
and
make it.
You put workers in a shitty position because if I worked there today and that happened, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, right.
I've got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I got to go work at another casino.
Yeah.
And then that puts me and my family in a, you know, in like an economic bind because changing jobs is never like an inexpensive endeavor. You always have to, you know, there's downtime and lost wages and shit like that. So, okay. So then you've got workers going, oh shit, I don't want to work here. This place is a nightmare. I'm out. They don't value me. You have a public relations nightmare. You have, not to mention, at some point, a human being has to feel good about that decision.
Yeah, that's baffling. I don't want to claim that I fully get the reasoning behind it or the perhaps necessity or whatever it is, but
we welcome a legal scholar to come explain to us.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
but
look, I had a coworker who was a superior to me years ago who committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I didn't sleep for months thinking about that because I was like, I mean, I didn't know the guy that well, but ultimately you can't blame yourself. That's, if you decide to do that, you decide to do that. But like, And that's like one person, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And I'm not saying his life was less valuable. I'm just saying, like, I had no control over what he did. And I know I was not alone in that. So many people at that place, we were all just like, oh, my God, holy shit. So there's no fucking way, and where I'm going with this is there's no fucking way in the world that I'd be like, yeah, this is going to be a good decision.
Right, yeah.
This is fine.
Right.
This is fine. Massacre? Meh.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
Got to cover our ass here.
I got to protect my financial interests.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
How do you sleep at night making that decision?
Yeah.
I would really love to hear from a lawyer that's like, okay, this is why they've done this. They've just explained it shittily, and this is what they're doing with it. I welcome that.
Sure.
As long as the tweet doesn't start with, well, actually.
Yes,
in which
exactly.
case, fuck off. Ask yourself what you're doing. Try again.
Yes, please. But yeah, there may... And if there is a logical explination, then again, they should
have come out with
right.
It.
I mean, and frankly, I mean, there's a million different ways you could take a situation like that. And even if you're not doing it from the moral standpoint, maybe there was a announcement. This is what we were advised to do by attorneys. However, because it puts us in legal jeopardy if we don't. However, we are not doing that. Instead, we are doing this. We're creating a fund for the families or whatever. I mean, you know, and then guess what? You're going to get a bazillion more people who are going to be loyal to your brand, who are going to really always remember that that's what you did. You stood up at that moment and did the right thing.
But now any move they make is just going
to now they're completely right. Even if it does, even if this is a even if there's a good reason for this and it was something they had to do.
No, the narrative's out.
They're done. I mean, because they just blew it. So, yeah, I think that's just perverse. But
I know. I saw that headline this morning. I was like, wait, what? And I clicked through and read the article, and I was like, okay, that didn't even make sense. So I Googled it because I was like, I need to read another story about this. And I read that one. I was like, it still doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah,
same. Read a third one. Still doesn't make sense. Great.
Yeah. No,
good
I couldn't.
Plan.
Yeah, for the life of me, I left those stories going like, wait, what? No,
what?
Why was that?
Why would you do that?
Yeah. It just seems horrible. But
so that's yay late capitalism.
Yes.
It's a fun time that we're in.
I will no longer be jetting to the MGM casino on
as
my
you
weekends.
Plan to
yes,
do?
As I am off.
Those weekend gambling sprees are done for you, Hupke.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I feel like we're kind of back in like dumpster fire mode, and I know that's shitty. I don't like that narrative, and I don't like furthering it. They're like, oh, well, everything's fucked. There's nothing we can do. I don't like that kind of like super centrist way of being, because I do believe that we are in an exciting time and that a lot of people have gotten involved and are doing more. And at very least, if they're not doing anything, they realize, hey, maybe just sitting on my ass and just tweeting and not doing anything maybe has fucked things up. Maybe just insisting on like, I'm going to wait and foster dialogue has fucked things up. And maybe that's what's gotten us to this point. So I think that's a good thing. I think it had to crack open, you know, for us to get to that point. But mercy me, as my grandmother would say, mercy me, am I concerned with the things happening today?
Oh, yeah, massively. But I agree. And I think, you know, there were even when Trump returned, there was a pretty good sized protest outside of the White House. And that was organized rather quickly. I think people are increasingly engaged. And I hope that carries over into the midterms. That's really going to be the crucial test. If it doesn't, then, you know, all bets are
shame
off,
on
I
us.
Think. Yeah.
Also, I don't at this point, I don't know why we're not like protesting out in the streets every day. At this point, I don't know. I realize there are economic realities, like we've all got to work and do things and
right,
sleep.
Yeah.
But like every day, I feel like we should be out in the streets protesting things. And I know that's problematic in our field. But nonetheless, there's between the national stuff happening all the way down to the city level, like Chicago tonight, last night, so that would have been Tuesday evening, there was a fascinating conversation around police and community and guns. And it was so frustrating because it so encapsulated exactly like the stalemate of that conversation. It was really good. It's online. Go find it. It's good. But like even at that level, you know, even down to the city level, I think I'm like, why are we not protesting something every single day?
Yeah, it is hard right now. And I think, but to me, this was a, you know, you keep wondering where the line is or if the line,
I have no faith in the
line. If the line exists. But
no.
But what happened Monday, the level of outrage over that coming from the Republican and the sort of the right side of things gave me a little bit of encouragement that they at least recognize that this can be pushed only so far. And I think that came real close to being how far, because you really did have, I mean, again, for me, I would like all the Republicans to stand up and say, yeah, we're going to impeach you now because you're a lunatic. And, yeah. But clearly they're not going to do that. But to have Mitch McConnell, he basically said something to the effect of, speaking to the Russians, like, mm-hmm. you know, perhaps not everybody knows what happened, but we know what happened and we're not going to tolerate it. So, which, you know, coming from him is like, you know, a guy picking up a baseball, but I mean, you know sure, what I mean? Like yeah, that was, right. So you have to kind of keep it in that perspective. Look, they're not going to do what we on the left want them to do or feel like they should do. Mm-hmm. They're just, it's not going to happen, but they do at least seem to reckon. If this was just the left screaming after what he did in Helsinki, then I'd be terrified. I'd be like, holy Lord, we're screwed. But there was, again, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it was in any way sufficient, but there was enough, like, oh dear, you know, coming from them that I think that they're, I think Trump was pushing. And I think the fact that Trump backtracked, or allegedly backtracked, he didn't really, but sort of tried to backtrack.
I do. I mean, I don't. I mean,
yeah, wait. Right. But at least that also showed that even he knew he'd stepped in it, you know, because he doesn't like to do that.
Or I don't know that he knew as much as I think he perhaps.
Or he was forced.
Forced, yeah. Just as he was like, meh, people are mad at me.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I think as much as we analyze and talk about it here on this fine program, I think really the place for effort is build into the things we want to exist rather than just, I mean, I'm saying we should be protesting in the streets every day. We should, but we should also be putting a lot of effort into organizing our communities to be strong and healthy ones and define community however you want. If you can manage your block, great. If you, you know, can work on a bigger scale and you have a bigger platform, great. But I think that is an important distinction because I think that, like, I think on Twitter it's always like the liberal despair like, oh, it's hopeless. But I agree because that does further the narrative. Like there's nothing to be done. It's just all fucked up and it's a dumpster fire. I don't disagree that it's a dumpster fire, but I don't think it is productive to sit and, you know, just like throw your hands up or clutch the pearls and be like, well, it's all fucked up. Those Republicans have got to do something about him. I just don't think that's productive. I think we just have to say, well, that's going to get sorted out or not. But the important part is to be building our energy into the things that we want to exist, like, you know, doing things to fix healthcare so that everyone has it, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. You also cannot. I mean, I get notes all the time for people like, why don't you ever shut up about Trump or why don't you let it go? And blah, and I'm like, no,
why?
I'm not.
No.
I mean, I feel lucky I have a platform and I'm not going to, when this is all over, whenever that may be, whether it winds up.
What are you going to write about when this is all
over? Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. It'll be interesting. But hopefully Dairy Queen stuff. But whether I'm in, you know, journalist prison or still writing, whatever the case may
be.
You'll
be scratching onto rocks in journalism prison.
When this is all over, I don't want to look back and be like, I took my foot off the gas. Not that I matter individually. I mean, it is a collective, you know.
But that's the thing. We've talked about that before. Like, no one person saves the world, right?
It's the actions
of all the people that add up together, and no one person can do everything,
right?
Even if they are quite famous, and they can't do everything, they can just do what they can do, and so it matters. It's all hands on deck. It matters what everybody's doing. Like a protest of one person is stupid.
Yeah.
If I went out to Michigan Avenue right now, it's like I'm protesting about the following grievances. Mm-hmm. No one's going to give a shit, and I'm probably going to end up arrested or put in a psych facility.
Yeah.
Now, if there's 100,000 people on Michigan Avenue, that's going to look a little bit differently because then it's like, my constituents are kind of pissed here in Chicago.
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I think, you know, everybody needs to keep their foot on the gas and you know, not feel like it's hopeless.
And if we had universal basic income happening, then we could all have time to go do all the protesting that we want.
Yeah.
Instead of having 12 jobs.
Yes.
Good times.
Womp, womp.
There was one other story I was going to bring up today, and I just forgot it because we had some good tangents in that one. What was that?
I don't know.
Who's done some dumb shit?
Oh, so many people.
So many.
Even I've done some dumb shit.
Have you?
Nothing too dumb.
But, nothing too dumb, yeah. I hope. Well, oh well. Well, we'll just save it for next time. So this has been another episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. Try not to, I don't know. I always try to give people some wisdom. I have none at this point.
Try not to collude with Russia.
Try not to fucking collude with Russia, please. Do you mind not colluding with Russia in the House?
Yeah, it's just one. It's one thing.
You have, take that outside. Yes, get out of here with that.
You have one job, and that's it.
Yeah. So this week, your thought for the week is try not to fucking collude with Russia. Great. Thanks.
Perfect.
Have a really great, blessed week. All right, then. We'll see you next time.